chapter 1, going to be down in verse 7. And the Bible says there, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, and he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. And they and their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then shall she live. Then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maids to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and said, Because I drew him out of the water. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the mothers today, and all of our mothers and the influence they had upon our lives. I pray you bless them today, Lord. Lift them up to you. Give them strength, Lord. Encourage them. Give them wisdom, Lord. I pray that they'll look to you in faith for the guidance they need in their lives as they raise their families, whatever it is you have for them to do. I pray you speak to all our hearts today through the preaching of your word. We'll commit that to you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message, A Mother's Faith, and we saw several women in the Bible that had a lot of faith. And when you start thinking about motherhood, I tell you, I don't know if from a mother or father's point of view, if I'd want to raise my child in a world today without God, without God in their life. I tell you, it's getting to be something. And, you know, when you think about, a mother, I mean, specifically a mother, and I usually say the same along the same lines to the fathers on Father's Day, but there's a difference between having a child and being a mother. Having a child won't make a mother any more than owning a piano will make you a musician. Because a mother, motherhood, I mean, there's a lot of things. There's dedication and love and patience and long-suffering and endurance and the big word sacrifice that goes along with being a mother. And, so there's a lot of things that go with that. I've heard people say this, the times are so bad. And I remember, a lot of times people say, well, boy, I was glad I was born during the time that I was born, or I'd hate to be raising up a family or having children in a day. And I know we got a lot of, there's young ladies here, young married couples, and yet to have children of their own, and maybe you're thinking, boy, I don't know, you know, the world is getting worse and worse, but, you know, I it was tough times, but I want you to, you know, be encouraged here when you look at the Word here, and we start looking at the text that we read this morning. Look how tough times were there for the parents of Moses. I mean, they were in slavery. The families, they were in literal slavery. And it had gotten so bad that Pharaoh said, he looked out and he said, you know, these Hebrews, they're multiplying so fast. There's so many of them that we're afraid that, you know, if we get attacked by an enemy, that the Hebrews may shift over to their side and, hell, you know, and they're going to outnumber us the way it looks like already. And you know, we've got to do something about it. And so there was a death sentence placed on all the male children. Now, you know, back in those days, I know nowadays they can figure out, you know, what you're having before you have it pretty accurately. But in those days, they didn't know for sure. And you know, here's a mother. You can imagine being with child and worrying about the sex of your child, whether it's a male or female. There's a death sentence placed on the males. And, you know, I mean, so times couldn't have been much tougher living in poverty. All the male children were being born under a death sentence. So it was tough times. But, you know, we see some women there, some midwives, and we see Moses' mother that she exercised some faith and faith in God, and they trusted God, and they went on having a family like they had planned all along. But there probably couldn't have been a worse time to have a child, particularly a male child. And so there's some things I want to look at this morning that we can look at, just 3 points I've got for you today that I think will help us, you know, just as people of God, and hopefully for the mothers as well. The very first point is overcoming faith. We're going to see some overcoming faith. You know, before we get to Moses' mother, you know, I was kind of looking at those two Hebrew midwives. Some Bible scholars believe that perhaps that they weren't Hebrew women, but they might have been Egyptian women that were overseeing the midwives of that. But I don't know for sure. It said they had faith in God. We know about that. So they could have been. I'm not going to argue the point whether they're Hebrews or not. But we see that they were two women, and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had an order because of what we had talked about there a minute ago, that all the male babies, he said, I want you midwives, when you get there, if you see it's a male child, I want you to kill that child. And if it's a woman, a female, you let her live. And he ordered him to do that. You know, and I was thinking there was another time later on in the history of things, and this is how far and how low that Satan will stoop to try to thwart God's plan for the world. And you know, in all this, I mean, we're seeing a story of just a family, a man and a woman and a baby, and born in tough times in slavery, but we also know that God's got an overall big picture that's going on in the world. And I mean, the line of Christ was hanging in the balance here. And here was the babies ordered to be put to death. Years later, when Jesus was born, there was another time when a king, King Herod, ordered the death of all the male babies underneath a certain age. I mean, that shows you how evil that Satan, the devil is, that he would get to the point where he's going to kill babies just for the sake of promoting his plan for the world and his plan for the ages. But I'm going to tell you, God's plan can't be stopped. I mean, when God's got something going on and God's got his program, I'm going to tell you, nothing, Satan's not going to thwart those plans. And so we see this, that it was, you know, ordered to kill the males. But in verse 17, but it said the midwives, they feared God. You know, and I thank God that they feared God, that they said, you know, they wouldn't do it. They came up, and some people say, well, you know, they were lying. No, I don't think they were lying. I think that what they did, I think that, number one, I think the Hebrew women were having babies a little bit quicker than the Egyptian women, because the Hebrew women were slaves. And the Hebrew women were tough, buddy. They were used to working, man. And they say that people that are more in shape, the women usually do have babies a little easier than those that are not. And so I think they were in shape from the hard labor. But I think also that I think the midwives just kind of drug their feet. When they found out, when somebody sent word that a baby was about to be born, they just kind of drugged their feet. When they got there, I think the babies were already born. And you know, they weren't necessarily lying about what took place. But here was some people that, you know, that they had a law that was passed that they were to kill those babies. It's the first recorded act of civil disobedience in the Bible, where they said, you know, we're just not going to do what the king told us they would do. And the Bible says that God blessed them. Boy, over in verse 21, there it said that the midwives feared God and he made them houses. And I looked that up and I studied that, and it said this: not only most of them were living in tents, but they got houses. And not only that, it also implies with the word that was used that not only they have houses, but they had families, that these midwives also had children as well. So God had blessed them, man, with children, and God had blessed them with houses because they had put their lives on the line really to save the Jewish nation from extinction. And in the midst of all this, Moses' parents, you know, Moses was born. And I looked at that, you know, and Moses' parents, you know, they were Levites, the Bible tells us there. The future priestly line came from this family right here. Moses' sister, the little girl that went down and watched by the river to see what happened to Moses when they put him in the basket was Miriam. And his brother was 3 years older than him, was Aaron. Boy, well, I started thinking, what a family. Man, here's a poor family. They were slaves, man, in Egypt. Yet out of that one family, God raised up Moses, Aaron, the first high priest, and Miriam, his sister, brought them all these godly children that were raised by godly parents. Man, what a family that they had. And there's a lot of things we can say about that. You know, Hebrews 11:23, we're mostly talking about the mother, but it commends both Moses' parents for the faith that they had. I mean, listen, man, I mean, a lot of times we use things like poverty and obstacles in our life, the reason we can't get anything done. And boy, here they were slaves and poverty, and you know, and not only just slaves, I mean, they were working them so hard and with the intent that they'd be too tired to have any relations with one another, to have any children, and then that didn't work, so they decided they'd just go ahead and start killing the babies. And I mean, man, they, you know, no obstacles. In the midst of slavery, that edict to kill all the males, Moses was born. Man, they trusted God. You know, it didn't matter about the slavery. It didn't matter about the poverty. It didn't matter about the king's orders. Yet, you know, God had this plan. And you think about that too, that, you know, when we could talk all day about it. But here was this baby born, and I know we got a lot of new babies here. I like that. We got a lot of babies. They get to crying sometime. That's okay. I'll just preach louder, you know. I can probably out-holler some of them, but it used to, I could do it, but I don't know, getting older, man, can't get the wind up. But you know, God, and I know that God has a plan for every life. And there you get your babies born, and you're looking at those new babies, and you're thinking, I just wonder, because you got to know, listen, God's plan will be greater than ours. And we're not going to outthink God. We're not going to outplan God. That God's got a plan. And she looked there, and there was that baby, that child. And she had to think, number one, and the Hebrews knew this more than anybody, that a baby, a child, was a blessing from God. Listen, God, you didn't give me this baby so that he would be put to death right away. I mean, they had to believe that you didn't give me this baby that he'd be put to death. And so there was a reason. Now, little did she know that this was going to be the deliverer, you know, in type, a type of Christ. He was a deliverer of the people of Israel. Did she know that Moses was going to raise up? It was 80 years later. It was 80 years before Moses led his people out. So you older folks, there's still some hope. Some of you older folks hadn't got to the place that where God wants to get you, because it took 40 years, and I'm probably one of those. It took him 80 years to get Moses to the place that God wanted him to be before he was ready to lead his people out of Egypt. But boy, that, you know, and they were looking for a deliverer, and there he was born. Man, I mean, they had overcoming faith. The next thing we see, the parents had overwhelming, and his mother had overwhelming love. Man, she hid her baby. She did her best. I don't know how she did it while she was having with child. Maybe just looked like she put on weight and dressed up, you know, and looked like she was overweight, and she had her baby, and she hid the baby about 3 months. Well, you know, after about 3 months, man, them babies, they start getting loud and they start getting noisy and they start things going on. She's trying to hide the baby, and finally it got to the point where she realized she couldn't hide the baby anymore, and she got desperate. Listen, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I know God's hand had to be there, and God had to guide her. I don't know what I would have done. But she had this plan. She says, you know, I'm going to take it. I'm going to make a little ark out of reeds, a little boat. And I'm going to put the baby in there, and I'm going to put slime and pitch on it. Pitch is like tar. And I'm going to make it waterproof. and I'm going to put it in the flags down by the river. It's the reeds, just the reeds that grow up down there. I'm going to put it down there and see. Now, any mother here and any parent can just imagine that this is what you're going to do with a young child, a young baby, 3 months old, whatever it was. You're going to put that baby down by the rivers in a boat, in a little thing in the water, and leave that baby down there. Now, you know this took, but see, it's desperation. I mean, love will drive you to do what nothing else will drive you to do. I mean, love is a motivator, man. I mean, love, you know, and she was stuck. That Nile River, listen, the Nile River is famous then and to this day for crocodiles. A crocodile could have swallowed that little thing, that little baby up, and you know, crocodiles are big, man. They make an alligator look like a little lizard around here. I mean, crocodiles are huge. They could have swallowed that baby up, that whole little ark, baby and all, and still been starving. One bite, it would have been gone. And so right there with the crocodiles, and I started thinking, boy, you know what, moms, and I'll tell you, when you're raising your kids, this is a good little thought, and we could preach on this all day. When you raise your kids, I'm going to tell you what, and you turn them out in the world, you're turning them out into a whole world full of crocodiles. Because there's this world out there ready to gobble them up in a second. You're turning your children out there, and that's why you gotta raise your children. And every parent, I believe, wants to raise their child right. But I'm going to tell you what, without God, you're not going to get it done. You've got to raise your child with God and God's Word right here. Because God's Word's what's true. It's what's right. It's not changing with the times and the fads and all those things. And this world out there is ready to chew your children up. And Satan's doing all he can to kill them. Just like he was in those days. Listen, he's doing all he can to kill you children. He's doing all he can to kill you families. He's doing that. But she was really in a tough spot. Man, I mean, you've got to be in a tough spot. You know, the Bible tells us this, that love conquers all things. The Bible says that love believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The Bible says that love never fails. Man, I mean, love is what was motivating her to do what she had to do. You know, my mom, a lot of you didn't know my mom. My mom, and some of you met her and all that, but you didn't really know her, but a lot of you never saw her or never met. My mom was crippled. My mom was born and then had bone, TB of the bone, tuberculosis of the bone. And so all the pictures of her when she was a real little girl, she always had braces on her legs. She told me when I was trying to learn riding my bicycle, she said, she goes, I never rode a bike. She always wanted to ride one, but I couldn't ride a bicycle. She always had. And then when she was just real, you know, like, she wasn't real clear on how old she was, but I know she was probably between 12 and 14 years old. Her mother died. So her mother died when she was, you know, really still just a little girl. And so I never knew my grandmother on my mom's side. But my mom she walked with a limp because the tuberculosis of the bone, it fused her hip socket. And so, you know, the doctors told her that it would be a million to one chance that she would ever become pregnant, whether she could have a child or not. but love believeth all things. It hopeth all things. Yes, it's true. I'm a million and one. But see, listen, man, I'm going to tell you what. And they said, listen, you'll never have another because if you have another, you'll die. It'll kill you if you have another child. So I didn't have any brothers and sisters because of that. And yeah, no doubt, like every mother, I was, you know, mom's pride and joy. I mean, you know, she was proud, you know, had her son. But I know there was a time that maybe she thought she'd never get married. There was a time that she thought that she'd never have a child. And, you know, I never looked at her like a cripple. When I was grown, Sherry and I went to the Eastern Shore. My mom was born in Cape Charles, Virginia, on the bay on the Eastern Shore. And, you know, I mean, she walked with a limp all her life. I mean, I just, you know, love don't see that stuff. And we went to this town reunion, the 200th anniversary of Cape Charles, I think it was. And all the old people were out there on the streets. Oh, you know, this is so-and-so. And nobody recognized anybody. And I remember this man. They were with a group of people and this man and they said, oh, this is Rosa Mae Dix. And he said, oh yeah. He said, you were that little cripple girl. And man, it just hit me. You know,
Yeah, she was the little group girl. You just don't see it. You know,
love conquers all those things. And listen, I never saw my mom as handicapped. My mom did everything for me that everybody's mom did.
Just didn't ride a bicycle with me. She couldn't do that. But she did all those other things. It was love, man. Love, listen, love is what kept Jesus on the cross.
Holiness put him up there, but love kept him up there. The love that he endured all that because there was a need, the only motivating thing. The only thing that could have done it, it had to be love. There was an ironic twist in this story. Pharaoh said that all the male children had to be thrown in the river. They kind of worshiped the river. That was one of their gods. And I think they kind of even worshiped the crocodiles. And so they thought perhaps maybe the thinking is when they threw all the male children in the river that that would kind of like appease their gods. And then they would be blessed because of that. Guess what? She threw him in the river. Huh? Not exactly like he planned. She didn't throw him in there without a lifeboat. She got the little ark and she made the little ark and put the baby in there. But she put him in the river just like the Pharaoh had said. It took a lot of faith to do that. She did it because she loved her child. She did it because she was desperate, and she did it because she had faith in God. And she told her daughter, she told Miriam, I want you to stand down there and see what's going to happen. Just keep an eye on him, see what's going to take place. She probably couldn't look, maybe, but she received a third thing, which was unexpected joy. The Bible says that the Pharaoh's daughter, I did a little studying on that, it looks like Pharaoh's daughter didn't have any children of her own. Maybe she couldn't have children or whatever, but Pharaoh's daughter, the daughter of the most powerful man in the human being in the world at that time, Pharaoh, Egypt. Egypt was the largest army in the world, largest nation in the world. Pharaoh's daughter, of all people, happened to be walking down there by the river with her maids, happened to see that little ark in those reeds, and just happened that when she opened it up that the baby cried. How do you think that happened? God gave a little pinch right there just at the right time, and the baby cried. God used tears to control the heart of the most powerful princess in the world. The Bible says God used the weak things to defeat the strong things, and there was a case where he used tears. Miriam tells Pharaoh's daughter, says, hey, she goes, just happens to run down there about that time. And, oh, you got a baby. Look at that. Oh, it's one of the Hebrew babies. Hey, do you want me to get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child for you? Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, and I'll pay her to do it. Guess who she gets? She runs back and gets her mama, the very child, Moses' mother, and says, here, and the Pharaoh says, here, you take this child. And you know, I did a little reading about this to show you how Satan works and how his plan is. When Aaron was born, there wasn't an edict to kill all the male babies. And after Moses was born and that plan got thwarted, they did away with it. They did away with that edict. The law went away. It was only in effect. It was only in effect because Satan was after that one baby. He was really trying to get to that one baby. And the plan fell apart. And God used the tears of that little baby to turn Pharaoh's daughter's heart. And I'm sure she went back and told her father about it. And there was some kind of rule placed that, don't worry about this child. This child's mine. She adopted this child. She didn't have a child of her own. She adopted this child. And she said, listen, what an unexpected joy for the mother. Not only now does she get her child back to raise for a certain amount of time, she gets paid to do it. And she's under protective law from Pharaoh or Pharaoh's daughter that nobody can mess with this child. I bet she paid her good too. Huh? Man, I mean, what an unexpected. Listen, God, you can't outthink God on this. You can't. God can bless you beyond your capability to imagine what God could do. You can't outthink God on this matter. And boy, I mean, I'm going to tell you what, motherhood and from a father's point of view, motherhood and father, it's an unexpected joy. It's the craziest things that bring you happiness. I remember when my kids were little and when they started, you know, when they started getting up like this, whatever age they are when they're like that, like Damien. And I used to think, man, I'm going to hate it. I'm just going to hate it when they get big enough to leave home. I'm just going to hate it. For those of you that have kids at that age, you'll get over that. God has ways of preparing you when they get up to that age where you're thinking, yeah, here you go, here's the, you know, go ahead and, you know, like old Sinbad said, when they come knocking back on the door, leave it bolted, just crack the door up and say, what do you want? Don't let them back in. But you know, I used to think, man, I'm going to hate that. Because, you know, raising kids, listen, it was a joy. And you can't imagine what it was. And you know, it's got its wages. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? If Pharaoh's daughter had to come and said, listen, I want you to raise this child. If Moses' mother had spoke too soon, she wouldn't have took any money. But she'd have done it for nothing just like that. Huh? She'd have done it for nothing, man. I mean, but I'm tell you what, there's wages. There's, you know, there's wages that you get, the blessings that come from God, you know, in heaven and raising children. And you know what? It gave her time. Because you know about Moses, and I didn't read that far for the sake of time, but later on, you know, when Moses said, listen, he counted all the riches of Egypt, nothing. He said, I don't want it. He said, I'm going to suffer the affliction with my people. Where did he get that character from? So he got it from, because during that time that she weaned Moses, she taught Moses the Word of God. I mean, and I'm going to tell you what the importance, listen, you can't wait till your kid's 19 years old to think, hey, sonny, we need to go on down to church and find out about the things of God. Now, if you're at that point, you know, do that, you know. But I'm going to tell you what's the best thing. You know, kids learn more. They got it all. The psychologists got it all figured out. I don't know where the age is. Some of y'all probably know where. But they say that the kids learn more in this one little age section. And it's like down between, like, from the time they're born up to 7 or 8 years old. That's where they learn, like, the most that they're going to learn. And, man, I mean, we don't want to leave God out of that part of their life. And she taught them about God. So the point that Moses was such a man of faith that years later, you know, he said, listen, I'm not, you know, he would have been, because Pharaoh didn't have a son either. Pharaoh had a daughter. They didn't turn the kingdom over to their daughters usually if there was a son. Moses would have been on the throne in Egypt if he had chose to stay there. That's money, buddy. Money, I'm going to tell you what, money attracts a lot of people. Money will make money. The love of money will cause people to do things. The love of money will cause people to do some evil things. And Moses said, no. He said, I'm gonna count it all as nothing. I'm going to suffer the affliction with my people. When Moses was 80 years old. 40 years. He was 40 years old when he killed an Egyptian taskmaster. Hid his body in the sand, thought nobody knew about it. And somebody said, hey, I saw you do that. And Moses fled. He ran. He ran out into the desert. He stayed out in the desert for 40 years, tending sheep, 40 more years. He was 80 years old when God said, Moses, you're going to leave. I want you to go down and talk to Pharaoh. You're leading my people out. Man, his mama had no idea. His mama had no idea what lay in store. Look at the hand of God. A baby stuck in a little ark and stuck on a crocodile-infested river to see what would take place. You think, boy, it was just... No, listen, man, God was in control the whole time. God was in control the whole time. And she taught him about God because I know Pharaoh wasn't going to do it. And when you think about this world's not going to do it either. This world's not going to teach your children about God. This world's doing everything it can to get God marked out. Huh? You know what? It's up to... And listen, I can't do it either. I can't teach all your kids about God. I'll teach them about God all I can, but you moms and dads can do a whole lot more because you're with them more than I am. Huh? Teaching your children about God. Look what he came to deliver the nation of Israel. Who knows? Who knows what your child will become? God. God knows. It's not up in the air. It's not up in the air. God has a plan. Listen, God has a plan. God knew before Moses was born that right at that time that child would be born. Satan knew it too. Satan knew that child. That child came on the scene. And God was raising him up a deliverer. You know, and I think God's raising up some children today for the way things are in the world. God's raising up some children. Listen, man, teach your children about God. Listen, poverty, not an obstacle. It's no excuse. Satan is throwing all he has at our families today. But I'm going to tell you what, man, God is still in control. Don't fear. Don't fear, man. Worry. Listen, worry. They, you know, I think Harold said, listen, if you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry, don't pray. Listen, if you're praying, what do you know, trust God. Listen, just trust God, put faith in God. Listen, it's not as bad as it was. It's not as bad raising kids, but it's not as bad as it was in that day when you think of raising a family in that day. And look at that family that they raised in those days right there. Satan's throwing all he has at the family. God's still in control. Let me tell you this, have faith in God. Teach your children to have faith in God as well. And, you know, before you can do that, number one, mom and dad, you have to have faith in God. Huh? Your kids have the ability to see when it's not real. They can see it. It's got to be real. God's got to be real in your life. If it's not real, not only will you not lead them to God, you'll push them away. For it's got to be real in your life. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. And we're thankful that you are on the throne and that we can look to you for wisdom and guidance as we raise our families and lead people, Lord. And we're thankful that we can trust you for all the wisdom you have. We know you're aware of what's going on in our lives in the world today. I pray for these mothers that are here and these fathers as well, Lord, that you strengthen them, Lord. Encourage them, Lord, to take a stand for you, not be afraid of the world or Satan or whoever, Lord, but just keep their faith and trust in you. And I pray for those ones here, Lord, that maybe are not saved, not sure about their salvation, Lord. They know number one thing they need to have in their life is you. I pray they'll come down the aisle today, give their heart to you before it's too late. We'll trust you for what's going to take place in an invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.